If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Jude, and we're here at verse number 6. The apostle writing, he's talking about certain men crept unawares, and in verse number 5, he's wanting to put us in remembrance of some things, and making a contrast between those who believe and those who do not. I'll put you in remembrance, verse number 5 of Jude. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. We took a look at that. They didn't believe what the Lord said. They didn't take him at his word. Verse 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. And so we're taking a look at these angels here and the reminder of being reminded about that. With angels, we considered about them that they are created beings, that they are the ministers of the Lord, ministering spirits, that Lucifer, Satan, fell by his sin. He took other angels with him, as is evidenced by their working and some verses that we're going to take a look at this afternoon. We ask the question, what are their chains? There are those that take this and think that maybe there are some angels that are bound, possibly, and they're bound in those chains in a more physical way and can't do anything. It doesn't seem to me that that's the case. We took a look about how Satan will be bound with the chain, and he won't be able to do anything there in the bottomless pit. There's also going to be a seal upon him, and he will be placed in the bottomless pit. And we saw about how angels, you know, they indeed wreak havoc and destruction by different things that the scriptures tell us. We're going to read more about that here in a bit. And ask the question, are there some angels that are in chains and some that are not? I don't get anything from the scripture that tells us that, although it could be. Wouldn't get dogmatic about it. Then we just want to talk, we left off last time talking about this darkness. And I believe the chains of darkness, or this as it reads, he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness. Okay, so they are bound. As I pointed out last time, angels only get one opportunity to fail. And after that, that's it. Unlike us, who we failed in our father Adam and we chose sin ourselves, salvation has been the mercy and grace of God has brought salvation to mankind. But there is no salvation for the angels. And so that is a difference in the greatness of God. That's what he has done. But I think that their darkness was like ours. Ours was, speaking from a saved standpoint. There's no hope for them, but there is hope for us. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Take a look over here. And just this thought about chains under darkness. Okay, those words, chains under darkness. What does that mean? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me get over here and get caught up with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read here in verse number 14, and be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay, believers and unbelievers, the parallel is righteousness and unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Okay, that's the way it was with us when we were unbelievers. We were unrighteous and we were found in darkness. Okay, that's where we were. The God of the scripture bears out here in this in the first epistle to the Corinthians that the gospel is hid to those that have been blinded by Satan. Okay, and so in a sense, darkness there. In Ephesians chapter 5, take a look over here. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8, here speaking to the church, saints in the church of Ephesus, for ye were sometimes darkness But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He said, ye were sometimes darkness. And that was our condition when we were estranged from God, when we were not saved, before the Lord illuminated us, saved us, sent the Spirit, sent conviction, used the gospel to convict us and showed us Christ. We were darkness. The angels that have fallen, Satan, Lucifer that has fallen, there is no help. There is no reversal. There is no atonement. There is no redemption for them. They are bound in that state. Men, women, boys, and girls without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are indeed bound, but there's hope for them in Christ. While there's life and there's Christ, there's hope. There's no hope for the angels that have fallen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here the church at Thessalonica, the saints that are there, the scripture says in verse number 5, of chapter 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Okay? And so they, as Adam, when Adam sinned against the Lord and was found hiding from the Lord, as the voice of the Lord came in the garden in the cool of the day to visit and fellowship with the Lord, after Adam had sinned, he's found hiding. He was indeed in darkness, wasn't he? Oh, the sun was shining brightly that day, no doubt. But in his heart, he was found in darkness. He went away from the very one that could help him. He went away from the very one that had blessed him so greatly. If that isn't darkness, what is darkness? And that is indeed spiritual blindness and darkness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we sing this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those fallen angels are in darkness. They're estranged from the Lord. They having been in the presence of God, they having been found in at one time, I don't know how else to describe it, but in a holy state, but then went after the way of Satan, went after the doubting of God, went after the lifting up, and if it was so that they did not like that testimony of the Lord Jesus coming in flesh, and as we read that all of the angels should worship the Son in his flesh, that they are in darkness. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 8. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. We were blinded. We were found in darkness because of sin, and I believe so it is with the angels. There's hope for sinners only in Christ, but there is no hope for the fallen angels. And so I believe that that's the binding of these chains, as Jude writes again there in verse number 6, he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness. They are reserved in that. There's no wiggle room. There's no escape. There's no place they can go. They're estranged from God. All they can think of and pursue now is wickedness. They were found as the ministers of God and in a holy state. The brother writes that they left their first estate kept not their first estate and left their own habitation. We don't know what that was like, okay? But they do know what it was like, and they fell. All we know is sin. But praise be to God that he's merciful and gracious. He's extended his love towards mankind, towards sinners, that sinners like us can be redeemed from that. Praise his holy name. See, we look on at this about the angels, and we're no party to it. We have no say. We have no ability. We have nothing that we can say or do about it. It's the way that the Lord has done things, and it's the way that these things have come about. And you know, and this is God's working. It's His business, okay, if you will. Remember, He's Lord. He's Lord, and He is dealing with this. He created them, and some have fallen. Lucifer has fallen, has sinned against God, and God's going to take care of them. And then there are those angels that are yet holy angels, okay, as we've read, and are used by the Lord to be ministers to the saints of the Lord. And it's all in God's hand. And we look on at it. We're shown a little bit about it. And in that, we praise the Lord. Thank the Lord that there's salvation for us. Amen. Thank the Lord that there is hope for sinners. Okay. The next thing we want to look at, I believe there are chains of darkness. The chains of darkness are like ours was. Okay. Their chains, their darkness is like ours was. And then the next thing we want to look at is that there is judgment for angels. There's judgment for angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, okay? And I know you're sleeping. We had another great lunch. And hang in there with me. Your recliner and your sofa will do you much better than that pew. So hang in there with me. Concentrate. May the Lord help us to stay awake. What, wouldn't that be something if the pastor fell asleep? That never happens, though, does it? Lately, I don't. It might happen to me before it's all said and done. But look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? They were at Corinth. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Wow. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So there are judgments that we make, but we don't make them of our own fruition. We don't make them of what we think. We make them based on what the Lord has said. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Now, not in this shape. In this shape, we're not going to be able, but in a body and having the mind of Christ, we will be able to. But it's the apostle writes. He says it's so. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? So there is a judgment for angels. We shall do so. In Matthew chapter 8, the Lord Jesus here, just after the Sermon on the Mount, we read here, a passage. The angels know, these fallen angels know that they have a judgment. In Matthew chapter 8, let's pick it up in verse number 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Oh, there's some things in there. There is torment. There is a time established. There is the one that's going to cause these to enter into that torment. Who is it? What's the Lord Jesus? Oh, Jesus is loving and caring, and He is loving and caring, but He does fulfill what justice and judgment and those things requires too. The Lord cannot let sin pass, not even of the angels. He said, and they knew it. Art thou come to hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, it's dependent on whether you do it or not. But if you do, say that they offered that they had no resistance. They didn't offer any resistance to it. If the Lord said it, it's going to be. If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine out of one man, and behold, the whole herd of swine went violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways in the city and told everything that was befallen and possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him, would you depart out of our coast? Would you go ahead and load up and get out of here? They didn't want anything to do with him. That those demons that were found in these two, they said, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? There is a judgment for the angels. In Revelation chapter 12, we also see a reference here that tells us the same. In Revelation 12, let's read in verse number 10. We've seen this, dealt with this recently. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, it's cast down, which accused them before God, our God, day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death, unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. His time is short. He knows that time is out there. He's fighting all that he can against it, but he will not be able to resist it. The fallen angels, his angels, as it tells us there in Revelation chapter 12, his angels will not be able to fight against it. They know it's coming. They even wondered about the Lord Jesus when he came, if he was there to torment them before the time. There will be a judgment and condemnation of angels. The lake of fire is prepared for Satan and his angels. This is kind of a crossover passage, if you will, from the last, the judgment and the lake of fire. In James chapter 2, let's look here. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Okay, just knowing about the existence of God, knowing that and believing that God is real. I believe in God. Okay, well, it's good. It's well to believe in God. But believing in God and knowing that God is there is not salvation. Okay, now it's a good first step. Because for the one that believes that there is no God, the scripture says he's a fool. Okay, but the brother writes here and says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Understand, that's not salvation. Salvation comes by not only knowing that God is there, but to see yourself as the sinner that you are, that God says you are, and to repent of that before him, and then trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say here, thou believest well, thou doest well to believe that there is one God. The devils also believe, and they tremble. Why do they tremble? Art thou come to destroy us before the time? They know that there's a time, that they're heading for that lake of fire. In Mark chapter 1, the Lord Jesus, during the time of his ministry, and the account here about him in Mark chapter 1, Mark 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 23. In Capernaum, the Lord Jesus goes into the synagogue. And then, you know, and this is really, this is kind of a, as I was thinking about this, you know, this is really kind of a, we don't have anything to fear being saved, okay? I'm not saying that. But it's kind of an eerie, creepy thing, isn't it? In that the Lord Jesus goes here into Capernaum and goes into the synagogue, and the scripture says in verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. That's a fallen angel. That's a devil. That's a demon. All the same thing. An unclean spirit is how they're referred here. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Okay. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Okay, so we're not just talking about a man deranged of his own self, but there was a demon, an unholy spirit within him, unclean spirit. And Jesus said, "You hush and you come out of him." And what's he say? "Art thou come to destroy us?" They know that destruction is coming, and they know from whom it's coming. And listen how the unholy, unclean spirit refers to him. "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Thee, look at that. The Holy One, capital O, of God. He refers to him by his name, and he's the Holy One of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And they know it. In Matthew chapter 25, here the Lord Jesus speaks and just really emphasize or makes the point here about this. The lake of fire is prepared for Satan and his angels. They have expectation of it. They know that it's so. They're fighting everything against it to thwart God. They're in darkness. They have nothing else that they can do. There's no even. They are reprobate in every way. Okay? Anytime there's a thought by an unclean spirit, a demon, a devil, a fallen angel, all the same. Those are all synonyms for the same. Anytime there's a thought or a move, it's always contrary to God. They're perditious. They are reprobate. They are contrary and away from God. We see here in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord speaking here about... Well, let's read in verse 31. "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. Nations will stand before him, sheep on the right, goats on the left." And understand, that's not talking about a point in time of one judgment, but it's talking about, as the scripture describes, how the judgments will be. And then those that are on his right will come and inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. He said, and he tells why. And then the righteous will answer, verse number 37. And then the king shall answer and say unto them, verse number 40, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Then shall he say, verse 41, "to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So the lake of fire, hell, lake of fire, I don't know if they're the same or different. Nevertheless, they are a place of eternal burning. And it has been prepared. Everlasting fire has been prepared for the devil and his angels. They know it. They know when they're going. They know there's a time, and they are fighting everything they can against it, but they cannot resist it. Remember what we read in Matthew 8:29: "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" So judgment is there. The lake of fire is prepared for them. And then there are elect and holy angels. We just read this here, verse number 31, the holy angels that'll come with the Lord. In 1 Timothy 5:21, the apostle writes Timothy, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels." There are elect angels, those angels that have remained, if you will, faithful and holy and not disobeying God. They are the elect angels of the Lord. He goes on to say that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. In Matthew 25, we're close. We just read it there in verse 31. "The Lord, the Son of Man, shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him." In Mark chapter 8, verse number 38. Mark 8, verse number 38. Let's back up verse number 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. So you got to know the words. You got to have the words in you. You got to know enough about what the words are to be ashamed of them. All right. And to him, sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Another reference in Luke 9 of the same. In Revelation chapter 14, here speaking about Babylon. I believe that's the whole world system. Everything that's against God, everything that is not of the Lord. I think that's the general reference to that is Mystery Babylon, and that there's these angels that come down. Babylon has fallen. Verse number 9, and the third angel followed them, Revelation 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. In Acts chapter 10, there are elect and holy angels, one and the same. Those that did not fall, that two-thirds, I believe, that we see there in that allegory in Revelation chapter 12, and that third of the stars that the devil took with him. I believe that that's what we see here. Here, Peter is sent to Cornelius, and in verse number 22, they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So again, that angel was a ministering spirit of the Lord to accomplish the Lord's will and work. So, in this, back in Jude, verse number 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, they were created to be ministering spirits of God, and Satan, or Lucifer, created to be that archangel, that covering angel, however that was, he lifted up in pride, said, I will, five times, and said, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to excel above God. I'm going to rise up. And by that sin against God was cast to the earth. Revelation 12 tells us that there were those that he took with him. Now, the chains that they are bound with don't seem to be physical chains that prevent their working, but they are indeed have been wreaking havoc upon the earth for 6,000 years. The only thing that can ever restrain them is the power of God. The Lord backs off, they have more and more their way. The Lord and the blessing of the Lord. See, that happened in Israel, didn't it? When Israel was obedient to the Lord kept all that stuff off of them. And they would go and had reign amongst the heathen of the world. But then as they would be disobedient, the nation would be disobedient, just like our nation is being disobedient. It opens the door for the wickedness and this working of Satan and his minions to just wreak havoc. And they did so. There's judgment for them. They are bound in this darkness. They are active. There is nothing that we're given. I didn't mention anything about this, but there is no exercising or anything that we can do. Now, the apostles were able to cast out demons, but that was a thing for their time. A brethren that I know of that have been missionaries, brethren that you know that have been missionaries down in South America. They believe that they have seen people demon-possessed. But we don't exorcise. We pray. We pray that the Lord will work. But it still happens. And they're still working. They're still real. And they're there. There's a judgment prepared for them. The lake of fire is prepared for them. And yet there are those elect and holy angels that the Lord uses to be ministers unto us. Don't you know a time in your life when the Lord, I've got a couple times in my life that the way it looked, I should have died. But the Lord took care of me. He protected me. And I believe he does that for his elect also. We're going to close with this part here. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate there in the third heaven with the Lord to be used of him, but left their own habitation. That was the place made for them. They left it by sin. He's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Their darkness is they have no means or desire or way of obedience to the Lord unto the judgment of the great day. There is a great day of judgment for them. We want to look at this lastly and understand these angels, these fallen angels, when they work what they work, they don't ever come ugly. Okay? Need to understand that. And I think that's another bill of goods. You know, we've been sold a bill of goods. I know as a child, I watched some cartoons that, you know, had the character that was supposed to represent Satan that was running around in hell, tormenting sinners, tormenting the disobedient. That's the disobedient. That's not it. Hell and the lake of fire is not Satan's domain. It's his place of punishment. And hell and the lake of fire is God's place of eternal damnation and condemnation for the fallen angels and for sinners that reject his salvation through Christ. Say fallen angels are never going to appear to be ugly, or they're never going to appear to be in a bad way. They're going to present things and temptation and such as that is good. And we just want to close with this thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The apostle writing to this church in Corinth, and he says here, let's pick it up in verse number 11. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. There's kind of a debate between the church at Corinth. There are some that are doubting his authority, his ability to minister to them and to correct them and such. But what I do, verse 12, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There are those that are saying that they've got a word from God and do not. It doesn't line up with any of the scripture or any of the epistles or any of the ministry of the Lord's apostles, okay, including the apostle Paul. But he says, this is no marvel, verse number 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He can look good. Satan's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is that aggressive, and he is that that aggressive, and he is that destructive. But he's going to do his work from the standpoint of temptation of the saints. He's going to use the world. He's going to use those that are unsaved, and he's going to make everything look good. Will make it look like light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. And he goes down and tells about what he has suffered for the sake of the Lord's people. And I think his challenge is, you put them to that test, a false prophet, a false minister. Will they be willing to bear suffering for the sake of Christ and for the sake of those that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do they just preach about themselves, and do they just preach about and hold to what will be good for them? Okay, so Satan looks good to the flesh, and his fallen angels will look good to the flesh, but we need to beware.